This is CliffCentral.com.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald and Dr. Brenda Hutton. And now is our leader interview with Ramasela Joyce Ganda, one of the finalists in the Business Women Association competition in August. They'll announce the winner at the end of August, and you can be there if you're interested. It's a fantastic event. I've been there before. You can go to PM at B. I keep doing this. Business Women Association. Let me just get that right. PM at BWASA. Business Women Association South Africa. co.za. And you can join them there by a table. Take your managers, your leaders there for a fantastic evening. Inspirational. All right. Our leader interview is with a woman, one of the finalists, as I said, Ramasela Joyce Ganda. She's a CFO at Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Municipality. She passed up the opportunity for to be a CFO of a listed JSE company to become a civil servant. That was her choice. Conscious decision, it seems. We'll find out more from her now. Under her leadership, the Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Municipality achieved its first clean audit and has maintained that momentum. And then in 2016, the month of May, the municipality received the country's highest credit rating from Moody's. So yeah, she's not just a CFO. She seems to have discovered herself authentically, and she's maneuvered this. She's navigated this throughout a leadership career, but certainly in the last few years, a very difficult environment to lead in. Municipalities have their own reputation for corruption, for what's the opposite of a clean audit? A
disclaimer.
A disclaimer. There's lots of ways that you say, sorry, this, things are not going well. How does it feel to be a finalist in this prestigious competition?
Wow. That's more the first thing that I got. It's such a privilege. I'm on top of the world. Whatever that means, I am on it. And I've been on it since I've heard about it. It's such an honor for me. And when I look back at the people like Maria Ramos that have gone past this road, I can't help but feel truly privileged and honored to just be a finalist. I'm really appreciative to Business Women Association for even thinking I'm worthy of just being called a finalist.
A finalist, yeah. Why do you think you deserve to be there? Or why do you think others, it's a difficult question to ask you why do you think others feel you deserve to be there?
The ladies that are there are trailblazers. They have done things that when I look at it, I'm thinking, wow. You know, you've got young lady that they are doctors. You've got people that they're just doing incredible things in a very difficult environment. Let's take public sector for one. You've indicated it's not an easy environment to maneuver in, and to be a leader in it and to be a woman, you really need support of all kinds. And with that support, if you manage to make it, or in some cases without the support, you even manage to make it. I think Business Women Association has identified incredible ladies that are making it against all odds. They are women of substance. I know African Women Chartered Accountant have just appointed a woman like awarded Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma last week as a woman of substance. And that only when you look at it and you look at the ladies that have been nominated, you say, wow, there is more authenticity in what we are seeing today done by women. And that, for me, it's such an incredible platform.
Now, I'm a matriculant, young lady. I'm in my matric year, and I look at you, and I want to achieve what you have. And you would probably say, well, what have I achieved? I'm still on my journey, you know. It's not like I've arrived. But I want to become who you are, in a way, or I want to achieve what you have, or I want to be successful, however I define it. And then I look you in the eye and I say, what did it take to get to where you are? What is your answer to that youngster?
a lot and lot of support from other people. I mean, if I look back about my career when I started varsity, that my mom is a cleaner and my dad was a messenger, and there was no way chartered accountant was going to be even a thought. But the support I got from sponsors like Deloitte and Hardwick, I don't think firms like those would have recognized me if I didn't do my part. For me, saying, don't wait, don't sit there, don't cry. Work very hard. If you're doing matric wherever you are now, study like this is your final exam for your whole life, so that somebody out there can recognize you. That is the first key. The moment you do that, I just saw so many doors open. I mean, to a point, at one stage I thought being a police will be the ultimate career because I could not see. But that didn't stop me from studying. And by the way, nobody told me that if I study hard, something will happen. And Deloitte just funded me all my studies. And that was, for me, you need somebody like that. You need an institution like that. You need somebody who can say to you, you've done well. Then here's the next step.
So just saying support is not enough. You attract that support, don't you?
You too.
With your attitude, with your own hard work, with your effort, with discovering who you are. So you put everything in, and chances are very high that you will attract that support that we all need to achieve in today's crazy world. Brenda?
Yes, I think Ramasela is being very humble here. I really think that we have to make the choice to shine. Shine who you are in terms of whatever. And I know and I can see it, she's shining. And if we can teach our people to shine, I think this is something else.
She does. She walks into the studio. Sorry to interrupt. Yes. And there is a shine, isn't there?
There is a shine. But you know, the wonderful part where this is concerned, Adrian, everybody can shine. Mm. It's not just a question of what you do. We are going to a new level and a new mindset of the quality of being the human being that you are, and that is shining. Nelson Mandela said, if you shine, you actually subconsciously give other people permission to shine as well. And I think you can be a little less humble and take credit for the fact that you actually shine. And this is what we need to teach our people. And can I just say one thing? Mm. Not just our young girls. This is Women's Month. You know, I've got four sons, and I would like a month put in and say, let's celebrate our men, because there are incredible men out there that need to be celebrated. And I would like to see something in Women's Month where women get together and say, listen, there are these fantastic men. Let's just take one day and celebrate all our men as well and give them credit as part of the support system that they've given us.
Maybe because of our history, it's too oversensitive for us, and we throw the baby out of the bathwater. So let's not even celebrate real manhood in today's world.
Exactly.
Because we're so scared that maybe it, you know, I don't know what the reasons are. Maybe it's an insecure society. Yeah. But okay, Louis, do you want to come in quickly before we continue the questions to this wonderful leader?
I'm just thinking, Arjun, you know, politics, we speak a lot about all the disclaimers out there, all the municipalities, etc. And we mustn't underestimate the work that has to go in to solving it. It seems a simple exercise. Outsiders say, why can't you guys get a clean audit? Believe me, it's got an incredible history and cultural problems associated with it. So I'm interested in the fact that where did you get the confidence? This is where the shiny comes in, to actually tackle this difficult situation.
Yeah, and then the biggest challenges you face to get to where you are today, not just at Ekurhuleni, but as a woman, as a leader, as a person. Let's look at that. But where did the confidence come from? Because you walked into a situation that wasn't good, was it? What was it like when you walked in? Tell us, let us know.
Ekurhuleni was not bad at all. They were sitting on unqualified audit.
Which means, for us who are ignorant?
That means everything financially was okay. Was good. This is what a listed company will get. A listed company will get that tick that say you're unqualified, your systems are working.
You're okay.
Yes. But what government and Auditor General put together some years back, they had a target that in 2014, we want to introduce what we call clean audit, and we want all organizations to be clean audit. The clean audit element over and above the financial cleanness was to add the service delivery element, was to add things that are very difficult, because this is now when you say you've promised to give me water, you promised that there will be a reservoir constructed in our area. Is there a reservoir or not? And how much have you spent So AG will say, yeah, you promised people reservoir. Yes, we've delivered reservoir, but at what cost? Mm. Because, you know, in government, prices tend to go wherever prices go. And so the value for money issue get to be tested there. And AG did that thorough work. So the clean audit, you know, as much as I would like to take the credit for it, I am very conscious that it's not about just me as a head of finance. It is made up of many people, including when AG said the landfill site of Ekurhuleni is the best. I'm like, I drive on the landfill site, I'm saying, that's a waste place. But a waste space that is managed properly. The political leadership, I work in government, and I've worked in different areas in government before I got to Ekurhuleni. When you have clear visionary leaders, political or otherwise, that say, this is where I want to take this organization to, and then they give it to you, and they let you do it.
Yeah.
It makes life easy. So when I walk in, yes, there were a number of crazy things people thought I've introduced. I even got names from some of the things that I've introduced, but the leadership support that say that if you say that works, it better work. We're going to leave you. So everybody else, let's rally behind this, that she says it works. And proving that it works, because everybody else then went with it.
Could you mention the difference between the technical clean audit and the real clean audit she's speaking about? Quite a few government departments are so concerned about having clean audits that they don't deliver. And they have hundreds of millions of rands not delivered, for instance. Now, what she's saying, you can't look at it from a technical budget point of view. Just look at it from how that money is spent. It's a very important leadership dimension as well. Otherwise, exactly how to use.
Well, let's go to the authenticity again. What is its purpose, money? What is its existence? It's not there to be saved. It's there to deliver. That's why people debate about why Eskom should have profits. You know, maybe they shouldn't. It should be out there giving people lights. Okay, good point. And then your biggest obstacles and challenges as you've walked this career path over the last 10, 20 years, we're interested in what you've learned from those obstacles, but what were the biggest challenges?
Okay, passing the board exam was challenging. Becoming a chartered accountant, I don't downplay it for a moment. It was very tough. But other than that, the transition from private sector to public sector, it was a rude awakening call for me. I went into an organization, one of the regulators in government, and within 2 months when I'm there, when I'm implementing new system, I was told that I'm bringing private sector to government, and there was a real toy with my name on the board.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, I've never thought I'll see my name when people are saying, go away, go away.
You're just this ordinary girl who's just built her career, and suddenly people are toying with your name on it. Now you've arrived.
Enough. And they're saying to me, you're the 7th CFO in 18 months.
Whoa.
We're giving you a few days.
Oh my
you
goodness.
Will be gone. And the arrogance and the stubbornness in me got me stuck in that organization. And 2.5 years down the line, they were like, wow, you stuck. But you know, there was a transition. It was a hard transition, and for me and for them. Me saying, really, I can get a job. I can walk out of this place any day.
You'll get it.
And I'll get the job. But then I've got unfinished business. I always say to my friends, when you leave any institution, any place, leave it at the top. Don't leave it when you cannot walk up straight. Just stack it up, do your part, and when it's high, say thank you very much.
Speaks to authenticity again. But what did you learn from that tough experience? As you say, you've had many, just passing the board exam, but that's a really tough one. It was a visible one as well. Then you walk away from it and you get on with the job. But have you ever sat and thought, what did I take away from this? What have I internalized? How has it changed me? How will it change my view of future challenges? Any of that?
The board exam, all my school, I've been acing everything. The board exam humbled me. I've become a better mentor for children that struggle, that have got all the capability, but for whatever reason, they're just not cutting it. It did really humble me. Moving in that environment that was very toxic that I've moved in, it made me say to myself, I can face any situation that come my way. Hence, I actually think I walk into any position today and I'm saying, yeah, I can do it. I think what it did, it just taught me that really persistent, resilient is what will win. If you really understand your purpose, why am I here? The day I move into an institution, then the moment I understand why, I must understand that the storms of this world will come. But my agenda and my objective and the purpose must remain. And after that, then everything else. If I'm going to sail through life like I would like to, like many people will do, I will not learn. Every painful exercise I've gone through in this career actually made me the better person that I think I am today.
I heard a young man say in front of an entire audience yesterday, in life you have pain. I think that's what he said. Pain helps you to learn. Learning helps you grow. And growing helps you change. That was kind of, and he's like 16 years old, this young, not even, I think he's about 16 years old. And that stuck with me, what he said, and I'm still pondering it and processing it. But Brenda and Louis, just some comments on the challenges that Ramasela faced and then also what she learned from it.
Can I just mention, Adrian, I've got a good friend who battled to pass his board, his CA, and then he passed and he said, I'm never going to study again. Now, this young man went on, became a CEO, but he under pressure, he bent later on. Because to him, he wasn't nourishing himself. He decided never to study again and lost it. In your case, I think what you feel strongly about is a lovely point. If exams have that impact on you, build the real character behind it, then it's successful. But to write exam and to forget what you want to, it's a sad, sad loss. You haven't gained. You aren't educated. Mm. So it's a very important principle. Learn from these tough experiences.
Brenda, learning from them, hey?
Yes. I think we can take 2 points out. What Ramasela is saying is, number one, her real, authentic self-confidence. And here is the important thing if we listen to the word. The question is that when I'm faced with a challenge, do I see it as a stumbling block or can I turn it into a stepping stone? And if you listen to the word self-confidence, the question is, who do I confide in? That's what self-confidence is. And I've only got one or two parts of myself in which I can confide. Number one is the positive, authentic part of myself, and that will take me forward. And in the end, I have to master that self. On the other hand, I've got this negative, destructive part of self that comes from fear. If I take my cues from that part, I'm going to self-destruct. So what we are also finding in this new paradigm, we are moving past this whole issue of coaching and mentoring and executive coaching and mentoring, because in many instances we give our power away to the coach and mentor as if they know better than what we are, while we within ourselves already they have that part of self that has all the answers. And sometimes it is such a challenging world we live in, we don't have time when we have to make decisions, like Ramasela says, to phone a coach and say, listen, what do you think about this? You have to make decisions on the spot. So we are also moving from outside in to inner coaching, self-mentoring, understanding self, and that will lead to authentic self-confidence.
But you need facilitation to get there sometimes.
Yes, but there is a time that we need to move past that. So what we are doing is we're putting the self-coaching programs out there, and it's not one or the other, but it's a culmination of all this information, because in the end each of us has a part of the puzzle of the big picture to bring to the table. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring our piece of the puzzle to the table. We're going to shine, as we spoke earlier in this hour interview, and the people who follow us will connect the dots. Mm. Like someone like Nelson Mandela has put up his light. Here Ramasela is coming up and she's putting and she's making her mark. So what's going to happen is that our people who follow will start connecting the dots in the direction they would like to go.
Okay.
So Arjun, this is what we really call leadership conversations, where all the connecting dots come together and people make their own decision.
Yeah.
Remember we had a previous educationalist, Dr. Longman from OWI, Open Witness Institute. He was telling me the overseas thinking is more and more that you can't teach anybody anything. Now, that's a big statement, but there's a lot of truth to that. So ultimately, it means that you have to help people to teach themselves.
Can I maybe just connect to that, Louis? In my research, I found is that we became disconnected right down to a DNA level. I come from a background that also includes medical sciences, meaning that if we can teach people to reconnect to their potential, that is where the answer lies. And in connecting to that potential, we also find the answers that are befitting for where we are and what that nobody else has, because I, the way I actually determine if it's the right choice for me is I can hear it basically with the fundamentals from my heart. And this is a very important part that we will find that at a DNA level we can help people to reconnect and then really be able to... Okay.
Yeah, but Brenda,
Get to final questions, yeah,
just
Marcella.
Quickly, mm-hmm. I just want to say we preach so much of corruption and accountability, but you can't really combat corruption or be accountable until you're accountable to yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Really what Brenda's
saying.
Thank
you. Yeah.
First person you're accountable to. Do you view yourself as a leader, Ramasela? Have you always, is it a recent thing, how do you feel about leadership? Because it's easy when you're a professional, chartered accountant, yeah. I'm a professional accountant, and you don't necessarily see yourself as a leader.
Man, I think I've seen myself as a leader. There's an incident in my life when my dad passed away, and I've got three siblings, and for whatever reason, I think I was 20 or even 18 when my dad passed away, and I had to take on this leadership role of, you know, deciding who to where to bury all the other logistic and driving the whole thing. And and I think in all the small corners, then you start realizing and look back and say, those are the elements that we're coming up of saying, you know what, this is where you have to stand up and rise up to the occasion. And slowly those are the things that brings the leadership in us. For me to say that... When you're faced with a situation, what do you do? Do you run away or do you face it? What I say to my friends and young people that I come across is that being a chartered accountant is just enough for you to get into a position. But what you do afterwards is what differentiates us. There are a number of chartered accountants out there. 2,000, even if it's not enough, but still, you're saying what differentiates you, then that's where the leadership comes in.
Ramasela, I hear what you're saying, and I think this is where we're moving. We are moving further than just the skills base that we have been appointing people in, to the quality of your humanness, or the quality of your being. And we can have people with a lot of skills and tools, but the integration and the integrity as a human being hasn't been addressed. So what we will find is within companies, organization, HR will now also implement the quality level. And I think where Ramasela is concerned, it's come naturally, but we can actually go further and we can teach this, and this brings us to the whole level of education and training.
Ramasela, should you become the title bearer of this Businesswoman of the Year award at BWSA, what would you like to change, and what would you like to do while you're on that platform?
Firstly, I would like to just focus on government as an employer, that let's move away. Even myself, when I joined government, I say, quoting what you've just said, I want to be a civil servant. Government needs the intellect. The biggest budget any organization is running is in the state. Our money are in the states as individual. My championing of this will be, come to government. We need the highest skilled personnel. You know, other countries, you go to cities like New York and you look at the kind of officials that are running the environment. Why should somebody who, if I may borrow the word, failure, be regarded as the one qualifying to run our biggest budget? So for me, we'll be championing saying it's not a profession of last resort. And what BWA is doing, it's saying to us, I mean, they're going to fund with the contribution from the evening, they're going to fund postgraduate students with it. And those postgraduate students should be channeled into this environment of government professionalism. Let's professionalize our country's infrastructure in our state, and let us have the look, the feel of a professional government institution.
All right, that's a big job that you will tackle when you, if you end up being the one on that platform. Well, it's been great having you here. Really has been, Ramasela Joyce Ganda, CFO of Ekurhuleni. And, you know, we end with a Sibanye executive leadership thought. And I'll ask each of you just a quick leadership thought, a leadership message to leaders out there. Brenda, very quickly, what would you say to leaders in 20 seconds? And then you'll have the final word. A tip, advice, a message.
Get connected, centered, grounded, focused, and stay real and authentic to yourself.
Excellent.
Find your voice, find your vision, and go out there and make a difference to our country. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful conversation. Louis Groenewald stays on with me. But in fact, the next hour, that was fantastic. That was a wonderful conversation with Ramasela Joyce Ganda, one of the Businesswomen Association finalists. And of course, you can go to their website or PM at BS. Let me get that right. It's like a mental block. BW, Business Women Association of South Africa. BWSA, BWASA. PM at BWASA.co.za if you want to attend that event.
CliffCentral.com